بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين نقرأ من كتاب الشيخ أبي عبد الله محمد ابن حزام البعداني حفظه الله من كتاب مختصر أحكام الصيام ولله الحمد قد وصلنا إلى ما لا يعد ولم يثبت أنه من المفطرات ما لا يعد ولم يثبت أنه من المفطرات وقد أخذنا أن الأكل والشرب ناسيا الذي يأكل ويشرب ناسيا فلا يعتبر أنه الذي يعني أكل أو شرب شيء ناسيا أي غير متعمدا فليس بمفطرا وذكرنا الدليل ألا وهو ذاك الحديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه والله وسقاه هذا الحديث الذي متفق عليه الذي أكل أو شرب متعمدا بلا شك هذا مفطر ولكن الذي أكل أو شرب ناسيا فليس بمفطر يواصل صومه وذلك الطعام الذي أكله أو الشراب الذي شربه الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي أطعمه وسقاه وكذلك القيء عمدا هذا يعتبر مراجعة الآن القيء عمدا أو بغير عمد لأن هناك حديث صريح الذي جاء عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه ولكن ذاك الحديث أخرجه أحمد وأبو داود وغيرهما ولكن هذا الحديث لم يثبت من ذرعه القيء وهو صائم فليس عليه قضاء ومن استقاء فعليه القضاء هذا الحديث لم يثبت لم يثبت كما ذكر إمام الأحمد وإمام البخاري وغيرهما فلذلك الذي يعني الذي حصل منه القيء سواء كان عمدا أو غير عمد فليس بمفطر وكذلك الحجامة ليست من المفطرات كان هناك حديث جاء حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم هذا الحديث صحيح حديث صحيح لكن هذا الحديث منسوخ كما ذكره إمام الشافعي رحمه الله والحديث الذي يعني جاء الحديث الذي يعني ذكر الشيخ يعني حديث عبد الله ابن عباس عن فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه احتجم وهو صائم هذا حديث أخرجه البخاري هذا الدليل على أن حجامة الذي يحتجم في رمضان ليس بمفطر وذاك الحديث الأول يعني منسوخ نسخه الحديث الثاني الذي ذكرناه في صحيح البخاري فالذي الصحيح الذي يحتجم فليس بمفطر وكذلك خروج الدم مثلا الذي يسحب الدم لتبرع فيجوز له ذلك فيجوز له يتبرع الدم وهو صائم إلا أنه أفضل تركه لأن الصوم يجعله ضعيفا، وكذلك استعمال المعجون، استعمال معجون الأسنان، استعمال معجون الأسنان يعني الذي يستعمل معجون الأسنان فيجوز له ذلك لا بأس، ما دام أن المعجون لا ينزل إلى معدته كما ذكر شيخ العثيمين. الأولى عدم استعماله لأنه له نفوذ قوي، لكن يعني يجوز له ذلك، يجوز استعمال المعجون للأسنان، وكذلك استعمال البخاق لمرض الربو. ذكرنا استعمال البخاق لمرض الربو يجوز ذلك، لأن هذا يعني ينفتح الرئتين بسبب استعمال يعني البخاق، أي يفتح الرئتين، البخاق هذا يفتح الرئتين، فلذلك لا يفطر ولا ينزل إلى المعدة، لا يصل إلى المعدة. وكذلك من الأعمال التي لا يفطر استخدام الإبر، ما دام أنه ليس من المغذيات فيجوز ذلك، كما ذكر العلامة عبد العزيز بن باز وغيره من أهل العلم كالشيخ ابن عثيمين والشيخ صالح فوزان وشيخنا يحيى الحجوري يقول ذلك، وكثير من العلماء يذكرون أن استعمال الإبر إن كان للتغذية فتفطر، فإن لم تكن للتغذية فلا تفطر. نعم. وكذلك أخذنا القحل، القحل استعمال القحل للصائم ليس بمفطر، الذي يستعمل القحل ليس بمفطر، وذلك الحديث الذي مذكور فيه ليتقيه الصائم فهذا الحديث لم يثبت، والأصل كما ذكر الشيخ الأصل الإباحة والقحل لا يعد أكلا ولا شربا، فالصحيح أن الكحل للصائم ليس من المفطرات، ولكن من علم من نفسه وصول القحل إلى حلقه فينبغي له التحرز منه إذا وجد أن القحل ينزل إلى حلقه فلا يصلح. وكذلك أخذنا أن قطرة العين وقطرة الأذن ليس من المفطرات، ليست من المفطرات، قطرة العين وكذلك قطرة الأذن ليست من المفطرات، وكذلك يعني كما سنأخذ اليوم كذلك بارك الله فيكم قطرة الأذن ليست من يعني مفطرات، قطرة العين والأذن يعني ليس من المفطرات، لأنه ليس لا يسمى أكلا ولا شربا. نعم. والذي يجد يعني طعم في الحلق فيترك، فينبغي له أن يتحرز من ذلك. We just reviewed what we have taken in our prior lesson. In general, on Friday, we take ثلاث أصول. However, yesterday, أمس ما أخذنا ثلاث أصول. فلذلك أمس ما أخذنا أحكام الصيام. فلذلك نأخذ هذه الليلة. In general, we like to take the three fundamental principles on Friday. Normally, we take the summary of rulings pertaining to fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. However, we did not take it yesterday, so we're going to take it this evening. And we have arrived in this section, as we are mentioning in Arabic, we arrived in a section regarding those issues which are not considered to be from those actions which break one's fast. First and foremost, that which we've mentioned is eating and drinking out of forgetfulness. If one eats or drinks out of forgetfulness, this does not break one's fast. Right. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith that came on the authority of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever eats and drinks while forgetting, whoever forgets, then they eat and they drink, whoever forgets while they're fasting, they eat and they drink, then he should complete his fasting. Verily, Allah has fed him and gave him drink. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The second matter, this is the first thing. So, the one who has fed him, the one who has given him drink, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, he's to complete his fasting. He's to not break his fast, but he's to complete his fasting. The second issue that we have taken, which are those from those matters which are considered to be from issues that some people believe it can break their fast, but it's not, is if one was to vomit. If one was to vomit, regardless if it is the vomiting that takes place purposely or by mistake. Purposely or, you know, by mistake, meaning if one was sick and they just threw up, or if one was to, if they was to force themselves, if one was to throw up out of sickness, this does not break one's fast. If one was to put their finger down their throat and make themselves vomit, then this does not break the fast either. And some believe that it breaks the fast based on a hadith that is not authentic. Based on a hadith that came in Sunan Abi Dawood and Tirmidhi and Musnad Imam Ahmad, where supposedly the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever is overtaken by vomit while he's fasting, then it is not upon him to make it up. And whoever makes himself break his fast, meaning whoever makes himself throw up, then it's upon him to make up that day. However, this hadith is not authentic. If it was authentic, it would be proof that the one who makes their self throw up, makes their self vomit, then they have broken their fast. Thirdly, al-hijama, one cupping themselves or receiving cupping, or giving cupping. If one was to cup someone else, give them hijama, this giving of hijama or receiving of hijama does not break the fast. And this is based on, some believe that it is based on a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Aftar al-hajim wal-mahjum." The one who gives hijama, the one who receives it, they have broken their fast. And this hadith is authentic, however, it has been abrogated. It's a hadith that's been abrogated based on another hadith that is in Sahih Bukhari that came on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, afwan, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave himself, he received hijama while he was fasting. He received hijama while he was fasting. So this is a proof that it's permissible. And this is a proof that this hadith, being that the Prophet ﷺ did it, this abrogates the other hadith. And this is also the position that Imam al-Shafi'i and other scholars have mentioned. Rather, we say that the Ahl al-Ilm, the majority of the scholars are upon the position that if one was to do hijama, if one was to do hijama, it does not break his fast. يعني هذا قول الجمهور على أن الذي يحتجم في رمضان لا يفطر الحجامة لا تفطر الحجامة وهذا قول الجمهور هذا قول الجمهور من أهل العلم هم على هذا القول. The majority of the scholars, they're upon the position that one who does hijama or receives hijama does not break his fast. طيب, moving on. From the other issue that we have taken in the last lesson is khuruj ad-dim. If blood was to come out of one's body, out of their arm, if they had a cut, or they gave blood, they donated blood. And a brother asked this question in our last class, is it permissible to donate blood? Yes, it's not permissible to sell it, but it's permissible to donate it to one who is in need. If one has a dire necessity to give to someone in need out of emergency, or they want to do a good deed, this is permissible. However, it's important to know that one who does this, it weakens the body. This weakens the body. It makes one feel quite uncomfortable. Makes them, you know, feel uncomfortable. And this is in general. Of course, there's exceptions to the situation, but it makes one feel weak. And this is the position that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, when he was asked, yani, did you all used to dislike doing hijama while fasting? He mentioned no, except the fact that it made us weak, except that it causes weakness. So, this narration is Sahih al-Bukhari. So, based on this, we know that if one was to give blood, even if it wasn't from hijama, this is something that weakens the body. And in general, when one is fasting, they like to have strength. So, take blood coming out of the body, let's say if someone was broke a vein and blood came out, this does not break the fast. Nah, this does not break the flat fast. Or if someone, let's say if they got cut, a major cut on their arm, if a sister was cooking food or a brother was cooking food, this does not break the fast. This does not break the fast if they have a cut and they're bleeding. Also, the usage of toothpaste does not break one's fast. The uses of toothpaste does not break one's fast as long as they make sure that it does not go down to the stomach. They make sure when they use toothpaste, when the person's fasting uses toothpaste, they must make sure that they rinse their mouth out well. So this toothpaste does not go down the throat or enter into the stomach. Nah. And it is better to not use it, as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, has mentioned. It's better to not use it. And it's better to use the miswak. Inside of Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, it's good to use the miswak. Also, the usage of the asthma pumps. The usage of asthma pumps. Some individuals, they have asthma. So, they need to use the asthma pump if they're having an asthma attack or they're short in breath. It's permissible to use the asthma pump while fasting. Also, taking a shot. It's permissible to take a shot. It's permissible to take a shot as long as there's no nutritional value in this shot that is being taken. It's permissible to take a shot as long as there's no nutritional value in that shot that is being taken. Na'am. As they say, it's not a mughaviyah, it's not vitamins. Some individuals are depleted. They may be dehydrated their bodies, so they may take a shot in order to become more healthy or strong. If this is the case, this does break the fast. If this needle or this shot or this injection has some type of nutritional value and strengthens the body, enters into the bloodstream and causes strength the nature of it's considered to be food, then this is different. But in general, taking a shot does not break one's fast. Also, the usage of quhul, this eyeliner, which is quhul, this does not break the fast also. In hadith, that where the hadith that's been attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it's been said that the fasting person should leave off the quhul, then this hadith is not authentic, and it's not correct to use this as a proof. This hadith is not authentic. Tayyib. Also, last but not least of that which we have taken in our last lesson, is using eye drops or ear drops. Using eye drops and ear drops does not break one's fast. Why? Because this is not considered to be food or drink.
When they use this eye drop, that the eye drop liquid goes to their throat. If they feel a taste in their throat after they put the eye drops in, or they put the ear drops in, if it goes to their throat, يعني إذا وجد يعني هذا الذي يستعمل الطعم في الحلق فينبغي له أن يتحرز منه. If one was to find that if they took the drops, the eye drops, or they took the ear drops, then they have a taste in their throat from taking this medicine, these eye drops or these ear drops, then he should avoid it. Why? Because it's a possibility that he is breaking his fast by doing this. It's better to leave off those doubtful matters. نعم. اليوم بإذن الله تعالى نأخذ درسا جديدا. We're taking a new lesson today. ألا هو هل كل من تعمد الفطرة في نهار رمضان عليه كفارة؟ Is everyone that purposely breaks their fast in the day, is it upon them to do kafara? Is it upon them to do kafara? And kafara is making an action or doing an action which is an expiation for that which one was deficient in completing from this act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made incumbent upon him. Na'am. هل كل من تعمد الفطر في نهار رمضان عليه كفارة؟ قال الشيخ ليس كل من تعمد الإفطار عليه كفارة. طيب من عليه كفارة؟ It's not upon everyone that broke their fast in a day to do كفارة. It's not upon everyone. Because someone may have the understanding that anyone who breaks their fast while they're supposed to be continuously fasting throughout the day, if they break their fast, they believe that this person has to do an act of yani kafar. It's not upon everyone who breaks their fast in the morning while they're supposed to in general be fasting. It's not upon everyone to do a kafara. من عليه كفارة. الشيخ ذكر في هناك تنبيه تحت قبل ما ندخل في الدرس. الشيخ he has a note that we would like to read before moving further, meaning before we move on, express upon whom is كفارة obligatory upon him. الشيخ mentioned يعني تحت في الحاشية قال تنبيه من تعمد الفطر بأكل أو شرب أو جماع فإنه لا يقدر عليه القضاء. فإنه لا يقدر عليه القضاء لأن القضاء في حق المعذور الذي تعمد الفطر بالأكل أو شرب أو جماع. من تعمد الفطر بأكل أو شرب أو جماع فإنه لا يقدر على القضاء لأن القضاء في حق المعذور. القضاء في حق المعذور كالمريض والمسافر. وأما من تعمد الفطر فقد ارتكب محرما يعني قد ارتكب محرما عظيما وليس له عند الله عذر ولا ينفعه القضاء. وإن قضى بدل اليوم 10 أيام فلا ينفعه ذلك. إن قضى بدل اليوم 10 أيام في مقام يوم واحد 10 أيام فلا ينفعه ذلك. لا ينفعه أن يقضي بدلا من يوم واحد الذي أفطر فيه أن يبدل له 10 أيام. لا ينفعه ذلك. هذا كلام شيخ محمد بن حزام حفظه الله. The Sheikh he mentioned, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hizam, he mentioned a very important note. This is connected to the title, من عليه كفارة. Upon who is upon who to do an expiation, a kafara. He said, whoever purposely breaks their fast, whoever purposely breaks their fast by eating or drinking or sexual intercourse, it is not upon him to make up that day. It's not upon him to make up that day. Because making up one's day is specifically the right of one who has an excuse. Similar to the one who is sick or the one who is traveling. As far as with the one who purposely broke their fast, this individual, he has committed a sin, a great sin. And it is not, لَيْسَ لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عُذْرٌ. He does not have any excuse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this individual, him making up that day, it doesn't benefit him. Even if he was to make up that in replacement of that one day, 10 days, even if he's to replace that one day with 10 days, that does not have any benefit to him. Because this is something, for one, it's not legislated. This is not legislated. And for two, he purposely broke his fast. So it is upon him to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to not return back to this sin, this great grave sin again. طيب. That's in the hashiya. الآن نرجع إلى النص. This was in the footnote. Now we return back to the text. من أفطر بالجماع. من أفطر بالجماع. أي يعني هذا من عليه الكفارة. على من الكفارة؟ من أفطر بالجماع. أي الذي جامع أهله. من جامع امرأته في نهار رمضان فهذا عليه كفارة. مغلظة. ككفارة الظهار وهي عتق رقبة. عتق رقبة هذا الأول. الذي جامع أهله في نهار رمضان فهذا عليه كفارة. كفارة مغلظة يعني وهي عتق رقبة. فإن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين. فإن لم يستطيع بمعنى إن لم يستطيع ذلك أي إن لم يستطيع أن يصوم شهرين متتابعين فإطعام 60 مسكينا. الذي لا يستطيع أن يصوم شهرين متتابعين فعليه أن يصوم إن لم يستطيع أن يصوم فعليه إطعام 60 مسكينا. ولا بد من هذا الترتيب. ولا بد من هذا الترتيب. نرجو أن هذا مفهوم. The first type of individual who may break their fast in the morning of Ramadan, the one that the Shaykh he's mentioning, the individual, and this is the one exclusively that the Shaykh he mentioned, and he didn't mention any others, but upon who is it to do a kafara? Whoever has intercourse with their family in the morning while he's supposed to be fasting, anytime throughout the day, if one was to break their fast by way of sexual intercourse with their wife, then this individual, this man, it is incumbent upon him to do a kafara. And what is kafara? Kafara is, for one, it must be in this order. This individual who had intercourse with their wife, it is incumbent upon him to free a slave. To free a slave. A believing slave, a Muslim slave. يعني عتق رقبة. رقبة مسلمة. المؤمنة. It's incumbent upon him to free a Muslim slave. If he does not have it, I mean if he does not have a slave that he can free. Huh? It is incumbent upon him to do what? To fast 2 months. Continuous, back to back. Two consecutive months. It's incumbent upon him to fast 2 consecutive months. If he is not able to do that, then he is to feed 60 poor people. He's to feed 60 poor people. And some of the scholars have mentioned, it doesn't have to be 60 individuals. It can be one person 60 times, or two people, 30 times. And he has to feed a person 60 times. It can be 60 different poor people, or it can be split to a group of people. It can be split into a group of people. Right? And this is a must that do it in this order. For one, if he has slave he can free, he does so. If he does not, then it moves to this next category. And this is fast in 2 consecutive months. If he's not able to do this, يعني ربما عنده مرض لا يستطيع يصوم يعني شهرين متتابعين ربما لا يستطيع يعني maybe he cannot do this. For this individual that's not capable, then what does he do? He feeds 60 people. He feeds 60 people. He said, the sheikh he mentioned is a must to do in this order. We can't automatically, he has some slaves, or he has servants, believing servants, and he, you know, or he's able to free the slave, but he avoids doing that, and he says, oh, okay, I'm just going to feed 60 people. No, if he can't free his slave, or if he doesn't have any slave to free, then it automatically goes to fasting 2 months. If he's incapable because of disability, that is a legislated disability, then it automatically goes to him feeding 60 people. نرجع هذا مفهوم. فلا يجوز له أن ينتقل إلى الآخر إلا إذا عجز عن الذي قبله. فلا يجوز له أن ينتقل إلى الآخر إلا إذا عجز عن الذي قبله كما في قصة الرجل الذي وقع على امرأته في نهار رمضان وهو صائم. هذا الحديث جاء في صحيحين. هذا الحديث جاء في صحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. فذكر له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الكفارة على الترتيب الذي ذكرناه. The brother, the sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hizam, who is our brother, of course, he mentioned it is a must to do it in this order. It is a must to do it in this order. It is not permissible for one to change it, to go to the next, except that he's incapable to do the one that came before it. He said, فلا يجوز أن ينتقل إلى الآخر إلا إذا عجز عن الذي قبله. It's not permissible for him to go to the next one, except that he is incapable to do the thing that comes before it. As an example, he can't automatically say, I'm going to feed 60 people, when he's capable to fast 60, fast 2 months. It may not be 60 days. Let's say 1 month is 29 days, and another month is 30 days. لأن أحيانا الشهر يكون شهر يكون 29 يوما. يعني he may be able to fast. If he's able to fast 2 consecutive months, then he can't automatically go to feeding 60 people. نرجو أن هذا مفهوم. We hope that this is understood. And the proof of this is regarding the story of the man, the poor man that went and had intercourse. He had intercourse with his wife in the month of Ramadan while he's supposed to be fasting. And this hadith came in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith came on the authority of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Bukhari and Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned to him this order. So it's upon us to follow this order. ننظر في الحاشية. الشيخ يقول في فائدة الثانية. The sheikh he mentioned in the footnotes, the second point, a good فائدة. The sheikh he mentioned. المرأة ليس عليها كفارة لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سكت عن حالها مع عدم علمه بأن لها عذرا بل وجه الأسئلة والخطاب للرجل وحده. هذا القول أقرب والله أعلم. يعني هذا القول أقرب, بمعنى هنا اختلاف بين العلماء عندما يقولون هذا القول أقرب, أو يقول هذا قول الراجح, أو يقول يعني على الصحيح. هذه المصطلحات يعني تبين لنا أن هناك اختلاف بين العلماء في المسألة. طيب الشيخ يقول المرأة, يعني المرأة إذا جامعها زوجها ليس عليها كفارة, يعني ليس عليها كفارة، على الرجل كفارة، ليس عليها كفارة، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني سكت عن حالها، ما سأل عن حالها، هل ما سأله عن حالها، يعني هل هي كانت راغبة أو هل هي أتت إليك أو أنت ذهبت إليها، لا، لم يسألها عن حالها. طيب، ما يعني سأل عن حالها، يعني مع عدم علمه بأن لها عذر، بل وجه السؤال، وجه الأسئلة إلى الرجل، وجه الأسئلة والخطاب للرجل وحده بدون المرأة، دون المرأة. هذا هو القول الذي أقرب إلى الصواب. طيب، الشيخ قال هذا القول أقرب والله أعلم. الشيخ mentioned in the footnote number 2, that the woman who her husband had intercourse with her, it is not upon her to give a kafara. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was silent regarding her situation. While not knowing her situation, the details about her, did she go to him and seek intercourse with him, or did he go to her, or what was she accepting of it or not accepting of intercourse? He didn't question her specific situation. So it's not upon her kafara, right? It's not upon her also to a kafara. It is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he directed his speech specifically, exclusively to the man radiyallahu anhu, alone, without his wife. This is the position that is most close to being correct. This is the position that is more correct. And Allah knows best. And whenever you find the scholar saying this is closest to being correct, or they say this is the position that is more accurate, or they say that yani, this is the state position of the majority of the scholars, terms such as this lets us know that there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. And it is not upon us to be jamhuriyin. We're not jamhuriyun. Huh? We're not jamhuri. Yani, we're not people who go to the majority. We must make sure that we look to what is most accurate. Just because the majority, as our scholars, they've expressed to us, just because the majority are upon a position, does not mean that that's accurate. It does not mean that that's accurate. It's important for the person that wants to know the truth regarding any matter to look to the proof. To look to the proof. Do not look to the men who analyze it. Of course, they are respected. The scholars, they're respected by us as students, as Muslims in general, as people who are seeking the truth. However, when wanting to know a position, it's not upon us to depend on what men say. Rather, we look to what proof these men present. These scholars, when they present dalil, we look to the dalil. يعني نقول باللغة الإنجليزية إذا أتى شيخ أو مجموع من العلماء بقول ليس علينا أن نتفق أو نكون جمهوريين. قل هذا قول الجمهور، خلاص هذا هو الصواب. ليس دائما كل أقوال الجمهور، يعني قل أقوال الذين يذكرون أهل العلم، قل هذا قول الجمهور بمعنى أن هذا قول الصحيح. فلا نعتمد على الجمهور، لا نعتمد على الجمهور، وأيضا يعني الشخصيات يعني القوية، وإنما نحن نعتمد على الأدلة من القرآن والسنة. فلا ينبغي لطالب العلم أو للمسلم حتى عامي أن يعتمد على أقوال أشخاص دون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فنحن يعني علينا أن ننظر إلى الدليل، كما قال الله عز وجل: اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى wants us to look to the proofs This deen is based on proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. And some individuals, when they read that this is the state position of the majority of the scholars, or this is the state position of Shaykh al-Islam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, we respect our scholars, all of them. Or this is the statement of Shaykh Fulan, or Shaykh Allan. When they see this, they're influenced because a particular Shaykh, this is the position that a particular Shaykh has. However, it is very important for us as Muslims to depend on proof from the Qur'an and proof from the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah, that Qur'an and the authentic Sunnah that our scholars have analyzed and the position that the Salaf al-Salih have taken, the Sahaba. We look to how the Sahaba, they understood these masail. And we try to the best of our ability to understand this deen. يعني علينا أن نفهم الدين كما فهم سلفنا الصالح نعم ولا نعتمد على أقوال فلان وعلان وإنما ننظر إلى الأدلة فلذلك يعني ذكرنا هذا لأنه قال هذا القول يعني أقرب طيب so we mentioned this is very important especially in studying books of fiqh and understanding issues of the deen طيب so it's a position of the Shaykh he mentioned where are we طيب the Shaykh يقول من ليس عليه كفارة من ليس عليه كفارة upon who is not يعني who are those individuals that kafara is not upon them. ذكر الشيخ من أفطر بالأكل أو الشرب من أفطر بالأكل أو الشرب فعليه التوبة وكثرة استغفار والإنابة إلى الله والندم حتى يغفر الله له ذنبه وعليه أن يكثر من النوافل حتى يكمل الله له من تقص به من فضيلته حتى يكمل الله له من تقص به من فضله والقول بأنه ليس عليه كفارة قول الجمهور نعم the Shaykh mentioned that the one upon who is it upon whom who are those individuals that kafara is not upon them The Shaykh, he mentioned, whoever broke their fast by eating or drinking, it's not upon him to do kafara. The one who's upon them to do kafara is the one who broke their fast with sexual intercourse. وهناك تنبيه قبل ما نستمر إلى هذا هناك تنبيه على كفارة هناك تنبيه على كفارة نسيت وأنا أذكر الذي يجامع زوجته في نهار رمضان عليه التوبة إلى الله عز وجل وعليه الكفارة طيب وكما ذكرنا الكفارة هي عتق رقبة مؤمنة فإن لم يستطع في صيام شهرين متتابعين فإن عجز عن الصيام شهرين متتابعين فيطعم 60 مسكينة نعم يطعم 60 مسكينة كم مقدار يعطي كل مسكينة يعطي كل مسكينة نصف صاع لكل شخص لكل مسكينة نصف صاع لكل نفر نصف والصاع يساوي تقريبا أربعة أمداد أربعة أمداد والمد مد واحد يعادل ملء يعني ملء يدي رجل واحد مثلا لو رجل واحد بالأيدي المعتدل لو أخذ يديه يعني بالأيدي المعتدل المتوسط ليس الرجل الذي عنده أيدي يعني أيدي صغيرة لا رجل اللي عنده أيدي يعني متوسط لو يعني لو أدخل يديه داخل دقيق مثلا وخرج يديه من الدقيق هذا يعتبر مد هذا يعتبر مد مد واحد والصاعة صاع يساوي تقريبا أربعة أمدد أربعة أمداد ومد واحد يعادل ملء يدي رجل واحد يتقرب يعني مد تقريبا يعني حوالي المد يعني تقريبا حوالي 650 جراما مثلا. طيب وإذا يعني وإذا علمنا أن الصاع يساوي تقريبا أربعة أمدد أربعة أمداد ومد واحد يعادل مل يدي رجل واحد فلكل نفر يأخذ تقريبا 1300 جراما لشخص واحد لأنه يأخذ نصف صاع لأن المسكين يأكل طعام مثلا رز ما قطعة دجاجة مثلا يعني على شأن الطعام يكون يعني مرغوب فيه يعني ما يساوي 1300 جراما مثلا لكل شخص لكل شخص يأخذ نصف صاع نرجو أن هذا مفهوم. طيب مثلا صاع واحد يعني يقسم بين اثنين صاع واحد يقسم بين اثنين وهكذا. We have just mentioned in Arabic, the individual who has intercourse with his wife while he's supposed to be fasting, if he breaks his fast, it's upon him to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also upon him to do kafara. And what is the kafara? The kafara, as we mentioned, it's freeing a Muslim slave, servant, freeing them. Any Muslim slave servant. That's first. If he is not able to, or he doesn't have one, then he fasts 2 months, consecutive months. He fasts 2 consecutive months. And if he's not able to do that, afwan, if he's not able to do that for whatever medical reason or whatnot, then what is he to do? He is to feed 60 people or feed one person 60 days or 60 meals. Feed one person 60 meals or feed 60, it doesn't have to be 60 individuals, but it can be one individual 60 different meals. Right? So what does this meal consist of? يطعم مسكينا يعني he's to feed a poor person. What does this meal consist of? This meal consists of receiving what is considered to be a half sa'a. A half sa'a. Sa'a in Arabic is a certain amount. It's a certain amount. It can be a certain measurement, as we would say. Huh? And it must be a half sa'a. And one sa'a, this is the Arabic term, sa'd, alif, ayn, sa'a. One sa'a is basically around about 4 amdad. Amdad is an Arabic term also. Amdad is the plural for mud. What is a mud? One mud is similar to the measurement of one man that has a normal size man, a man that has normal size hands. A mud is the similitude of a man that has a normal size hands, not small hands, not extremely big hands, but he has normal size. Normal size hands of a man, if he was to take his hands and put it in both hands inside of a bag of flour and pull it out, that amount is considered to be a mud. Four of those normal big, you know, normal size hands, 4 times is considered to be one sa'a. It's considered to be one sa'a. And some of the scholars, like Sheikh bin Baz and other than him, from the, some of the scholars, they mention that one mud is similar to around about 650 grams, or maybe a little bit more, maybe 650, maybe 750. Now, if we look at one man's two hands, if he was to pull it out and place it in some type of container of rice, a rice is an example, a parcels of rice, 650 grams is an example, that's one mud. So four times, taking his hands, one, two, three, four times with his two hands, placing it in the bag of flour or rice, or whatever type of grain is an example. This four times, taking both hands and placing it in, is considered to be one sa'. And one sa' can be split between two poor people. So one poor person, if we say that it's around about 650 grams for one mud, one individual may receive around about two muddan. Tayyib? So, this is what we want to understand. It may be around 1,300 grams for one person. Around 1,300 grams to feed one person. This is important. Tayyib? And maybe a little more. And it's better to give more. It's better to give more just so you're on the safe side. It's better to give a little more just to be on the safe side. Yani, Al-Kareem la yulam. The one who's generous, he can never be blamed. Al-Kareem la yulam. The one who is generous, he can never be blamed. So it's important to try to be as generous as much as possible. So this is what the kafara would be. Kafara for one individual will be approximately 1,300 grams for one person. Two in miskeen, two poor people can split, yani, two poor people can split one sa'. And this is approximately 2,600 or a little more, yani, considered to be one sa'. 2,600 grams or a little more could be considered one sa'. Now to join that, mafhum. We trust in Allah that this is understood. The Sheikh, he mentioned, من ليس عليه كفارة. Who are those individuals? It's not upon them to make كفارة. من أفطر بالأكل أو الشرب فعليه التوبة وكثرة الاستغفار والإنابة إلى الله والندم حتى يغفر الله له ذنبه وعليه أن يكثر من النوافل حتى يكمل الله له من تقص به من فضيلته أي من فضيلة الصوم. The Sheikh, he mentioned, والقول بأنه ليس عليه كفارة قول الجمهور. The Sheikh, he mentioned that the individual who broke his fast by eating or drinking, being purposely, not out of forgetfulness, this individual is upon him to make tawbah and to increase and asking Allah, increase in his istighfar, increase by asking Allah to forgive him, and to feel bad regarding that which he has done, and to return to his Lord, and regret that to a point Allah forgives him, and regret that act of breaking his fast, to a point he's seeking that Allah will forgive him of his sin. Allah will forgive him regarding that sin that he's committed. And the Sheikh, he mentioned, is upon him to it's upon him to increase in those subrogatory deeds, increase in any of those nawafil, increase in doing every act which is highly recommended, and to hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace that which he was deficient in from the virtue of fasting. If one does a sin, they should always increase in worship of Allah and always increase in doing those deeds which are pleasing to Allah. Naam. the Sheikh, he mentioned that this statement, meaning that the one who eats or drinks purposely, it's not upon him to do kafara. This is the position of the majority of the scholars. Hada qawl al-jumhur. Naam, this is the position of the majority of scholars. Athani man istamna. The individual who masturbates, this individual, or one who has secretion out of sexual desires, who seeks gratification, this individual who does this, ما يقال يعني عادة سرية, فإن هذا يعد مفترا وليس عليه كفارة على الصحيح يكون قد تعمد الفطر وارتكب محذور عظيمة ارتكب جريمة من الجرائم ولكن ليس عليه قضاء ليس عليه القضاء. This individual who seeks sexual gratification by way of causing himself to ejaculate, this individual that he has broken his fast. This individual is considered to have broken his fast. However, it is not upon him to do kafara. And this is the correct position. And he had kafara ala sahih. And the baqala ala sahih. يعني وليس عليه كفارة على الصحيح بمعنى أن هناك اختلاف بين العلماء. When the Shaykh, he mentioned, this is the position that is most accurate, that shows us that this is an issue that there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars regarding. This individual who did this act, and we're trying to avoid terms that may be a little offensive or a little too explicit. But this individual who has done this, he has done a major sin. If for one, he broke his fast while he's supposed to be fasting. And for two, he did this act which is not appropriate. This act which is haram. This is a great harm to him. Not just Islamically, but physically, this is not healthy. This is from those deeds which are evil, those deeds which are not good. Naam. However, it is not upon him to make up that day. ولكن ليس عليه القضاء. It's not upon him to make up that day. طيب. بإذن الله تعالى في درس القادم يوم الاثنين نأخذ مستحبات الصيام وبعض آدابه. مستحبات الصيام وبعض آدابه. We will take, inshallah, this coming Monday, those actions which are highly recommended for the one who's fasting to do. And some of the manners pertaining to it. And certain issues which are highly recommended for the one who's fasting to commit to. نسأل الله عز وجل لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد. الذي استشكل عليه شيء يرسل إلينا يعني رسالة وسنجمع إن شاء الله الأسئلة إذا حصل الأسئلة إن شاء الله نجمع الأسئلة وفي بداية الدرس القادم نجيب عنها إن لم نستطيع نجيب عنها إن شاء الله نقدمها إلى أهل العلم. Anyone who has any questions regarding anything that we're speaking about, if anyone has any questions regarding these matters that we're speaking about, any details, they need any more clarification, or they have any questions, even if it's not directly associated with what we're talking about, but it has something to do with fasting, or the month of Ramadan, and issues pertaining to fasting, they can present their questions to me, and inshallah, we will answer them Monday, yani yawm al-ithneen, we'll answer it Monday, inshallah. Or we will present it between now and Monday to Ahlul Ilm, to our teachers, our mashayikh, inshallah, someone from our mashayikh, to answer them, inshallah, and have the answers present in the coming lesson. ونسأل الله عز وجل لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success, make us firm. ويعافينا من كل مرض. حسيا ومعنويا. We ask Allah to protect us from every illness, those illnesses which are apparent and sensual, and those illnesses which are with regards to our creed. We ask Allah to give us firmness. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.